Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, founding therein with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
Rooted in him. And simply for us to just read the Bible and not know anything about it, you know that that is not the kind of pastor that I am. So
Amen.
Just a little bit of background on the book of Colossians. Paul, see, when this book was written, Paul had been imprisoned at Rome, and he had received messages about heresy in the church. Amen. So Paul defended the faith by exalting the person of Jesus and clarifying the true doctrine of Jesus Christ when he wrote the book of Colossians. Can I just teach you just a little bit today? Is that all right? I know y'all want to hoop and holler, but today I just want to teach you a little bit. Is that all right? Colossians was written from Rome while Paul was imprisoned for the first time, and this was about 62 years after the death of Jesus Christ. Why did they wait so long to start writing after he had died? Because they expected that he would return in their lifetime.
Wow.
And when he didn't, they had gotten together and said, we had better start writing this stuff down. Amen. The purpose of this epistle to the Colossians was to instruct the believers that salvation is only in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The person of Jesus Christ must be understood accurately, and that he is the image of the invisible God, and in him all of the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form.
Yes.
Amen. Colossians 1 and 15. When Jesus died on the cross, he put an end to the civil and ceremonial laws of Judaism, and now believers have the opportunity to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was trying to get across. See, the epistle to the Colossians is an instruction about new life in Christ, which comes through a spiritual union with Christ in heaven. See, new life produces a Christ-like character. If folks are the same as they were before they confessed Christ, they didn't really find him. Come on, somebody. Let's talk about it. Christ-like character, it produces brotherly affection. It produces forgiveness. It produces peace. It produces worship and ministry. It produces devotion and thankfulness in everything. Come on, the city of Colossae was in the heart of the New Testament Asia. It was about 100 miles east of Ephesus in the river valley of Lycus. And according to Colossians 4 and 12, the church had been established already in an earlier time. But this was a stern warning from Paul, because he had heard that they had started to get into the habit of worshiping angels. Particularly Michael, the archangel.
Yes.
The church was being severely attacked now by false teachers, and the heresy contained false teachings which included a false view of the universe. Matter is evil, a distortion of man. Sin is physical and not spiritual. Abstaining from certain foods, a misunderstanding of the purpose of Jesus Christ. Worshiping angels, and these were elements of Judaism mixed with Christianity, and Paul was trying to explain to them that is incorrect.
All right, amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
So today's message is not for the unsaved.
Uh-huh.
Paul lets us know immediately. He says, as ye therefore received Jesus the Lord. Amen. So it's clear that the sermon that he is talking about, what he's talking about, is that those who have already confessed Christ as their Lord and Savior, as the old time folks used to say, purpose in their heart to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
Is there anyone, y'all are so quiet, is there anyone purpose in their heart to follow Jesus?
Yeah.
Come on, we sing a song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. You know, you have to have a purposeful heart to follow Jesus. You can't just take it lightly. You have to wake up with a mind stayed on it. You have to stay rooted and grounded in it, so that when life does what it does, it doesn't send you to a place where you don't know how you're going to make it, where you don't understand what is happening all around you, where you have no peace in the middle of a storm. You have to have a purposeful heart to serve the Lord. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's me.
That's
me. Say, no, say, that's me.
That's
I'm purposed in my heart to follow Jesus.
Oh.
me, it's fascinating how unerringly appropriate that this Bible is. It's 2,203 years old.
Uh-huh.
We call it the Word of God, and bestsellers come and go, don't they? They seldom stay on the bestsellers list for more than a month or two. But the Bible has been on the bestsellers list ever since they started making a list. Yes. Come on, somebody, that has to say something about the Bible. The truth is often challenged. This book is often challenged, but in it, it's never unchanged.
Right.
You missed that. You got an instruction manual that has all the answers to every question that you will ever ask in your life at your fingertips. If you don't study it, you won't know what's in it. Amen, somebody. Study to show thyself approved unto God. So when someone says something to you that is not correct, you can say, I don't know where you're coming from because the Bible says. It motivates, and its motives are pure. It's called obedience should be inspiring.
Uh-huh.
The Bible is called the true center of Christian union by the supreme standard by which all human conduct, all of our creeds and opinions should be tried.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I have people call me all the time. I have people email me all the time about social issues. Pastor, what do you think about this? Pastor, what do you have to say about that? Pastor, what are your feelings on this, that, and the other? And I tell them all the same thing. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I feel. What does the Bible say about that? What the Bible says about it, that's what we're going to stick with. Amen. It doesn't matter what my personal opinion is. If God said it isn't so, then it isn't so. Contains principles against which all Christian progress should be measured.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't measure yourself against someone else's life.
Amen.
You shouldn't use someone else's life as a measuring stick against your own.
Right.
You shouldn't look at what I have and look at what you have and think that you should be measuring yourself by what I have, because you don't know what struggle I had to go through to get what I have.
Amen.
And you don't know the sacrifices that I have to maintain on a daily basis to keep that which what God has blessed me with. Amen. And what he blessed me with, you might not be able to handle that. Get your own thing and measure it against the Word of God. Amen. Somebody. See, it's progress. You know, stagnant Christianity is contrary to the command that Christ gives to everybody that believes in him. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He wasn't talking to the disciples gathered just there. He was talking to us too. Come on, somebody. When we hear the call to repent and be baptized, what also follows is a call to go and make disciples.
Yes.
Friend of mine stays up all night long, trades stocks on the foreign market. I said to him, I said, Tommy, give me a stock tip. He said, no. I said, give me a stock tip. He said, no. I said, well, the Bible says that you should teach folks and make disciples out of that. I said, teach me how to do that thing there. If you don't want to give me a tip, teach me what you have already been taught. So he sat down with me and he said, you're going to get as much of this as you put into it. If you don't put any time into it and any effort into it, you're going to have just what you have now. But if you take time to sit with me and learn and read the things that I'm going to tell you to read, you will become exactly what you're looking for. You will get what you need, but you have to put something in it to get something out of it. And the Word is the very same way. You're only going to get out of your walk what you put into it with the Lord. If you don't put any time into it, you're not going to get anything out of it. Amen. If you want the Lord to speak to you, you've got to speak to him. If you want the Lord to do a work in your life, you've got to tell him, God, I need you. I can't do this on my own. See, you've got to be rooted and you've got to be grounded in him. In this text, Paul is trying to charge up some of the new Christians in the church with a rallying cry, and he presents three slightly different metaphors that all point the same way towards being a mature Christian. Paul wants the church at Colossians to stop resting on their conversation and on their conversion and start developing some conviction. We simply can't walk around saying I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost if we have no works to back that thing up. You shouldn't have to tell folks I'm saved. Amen, somebody. You shouldn't have to tell folks I'm sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. They should see it in your walk. They should hear it in your talk. It should be more than just resting on the fact that you have been converted, and you've got to get past that, and you've got to start working and developing some conviction, some sincerity, and some passion for the cause of Christ. Amen. We've got so many excuses why we can't serve. We've got so many excuses why we can't get into the house. But if we're truly rooted and grounded in Him, we will get up off of our pew of conversion and start getting to work, letting folks know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You've got to start telling folks, look, I know that you may be comfortable where you're at, but the Bible says, to start telling folks that, you know, we can't just preach everybody happy on Sunday. Because then when hell breaks loose, everybody come running to the church, and they don't have any rooting. They have no grounding. Conversion is good, but conviction is better.
That's good.
It's a more complete possession of our Savior. Conviction means you live in constant contact with Christ. See, if you live with a conviction in your spirit, when you step out of line, you don't need the deacon to come over and say, hey, bro, you're not right. Because the conviction in your spirit will hit you immediately. I had a meeting this week where something about to fly out of my mouth, and the Lord spoke to me and said, listen now, see, if you get that, the minute you step outside of the boundaries, God will direct you quickly back. But you've got to be rooted in Him, and you've got to be grounded in Him, and you've got to believe that thing. Paul says if you have received Christ, you've got to walk in Him. That's a direct charge. You can't miss it. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be exact as if it were deep or hidden, or, you know, a deep piece of theological history that only those of us with papers all over the wall can understand it. It was real simple. He said, if you've received Christ, you ought to walk in Him. You ought to act like it. It's a direct charge. So ye walk in Him. What does it mean to walk in Christ? For starters, you can't substitute your works and your words. Amen? You can't claim to be a child of God and sit in Him. If you're going to talk the talk, then you've got to walk the walk. If you're going to say it, do it. If you're going to do it, get it done in decency and in order. There are plenty of paths to take, and some are well worn by previous travelers, but that doesn't make them the right path to take. Jesus said, wide is the gate and broad is the road that lead to destruction. And the B part of that says, and many of us enter that way.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's easy. But He also said, small is the gate, come on, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few people find it. Why? Because only a few of us are truly rooted in the Lord. Only a few of us, come on somebody, are truly rooted in the Lord. Because you can tell when somebody's rooted, because when somebody does something to them in the church that they don't like, they come back next Sunday. Amen. Because they're rooted and they're grounded in the Word, and they understand that just because you didn't treat me the way that I felt that I needed to be treated, I know in whom I believe, and my experience and my walk is not based on how you treat me. I'm rooted and I'm grounded in Him. So say what you want, do what you want. I'm coming back and I'm sitting in my seat and I'm going to give God praise, glory, and honor in spite of you. We all sing, and we love to sing when we all get to heaven. But it's not just about the destination. It's about the direction. Come on, somebody. Once you're converted, every precious step you take with Christ should be one of revelation, and it should be one of fulfillment. Every step along your journey, you ought to want to know more about Him. Every step you take in Him, you ought to want to know more about what He can do. Every day that you walk with Him, you ought to want to get closer to Him. The more time that you spend with Him, you ought to want to know more about Him. Amen. You shouldn't just date the Lord. You should marry Him. Amen. Don't Don't make him something that's on the top. Make him first. Ladies, when you get a man, you don't want a man that considers you a side piece. Amen. You want a man that's going to want to learn more about you. You want a man that wants to know what is your favorite color? What is your favorite food? What do you like to do in your free time? What can I get for you? What can I do for you? How can I get to know more about you? And when you meet somebody like that, you do the same thing, right? You want to learn more about them. And the more time you spend together, you learn more about each other. You start finishing each other's sentences. You do like the Mills and wear the same colors to church. You just start to look like each other. See, and that's the same thing with your relationship. If you spend more time with him and learn more about him, you'll start to look more like him. And when you look more like him, instead of mine being lifted up, I will fall all men under me. See, you don't have to do the work. God will do the calling. But you gotta get close to it and lift him up. Say hallelujah. Your salvation is not to be put on hold until death. Put it in high gear. And have a miraculous journey down here.
Yes.
What good is it to simply be saved and skate your way into heaven?
Yes.
When you can live a miraculous life down here. Oh, y'all missed that.
Uh-huh.
Ephesians 5:2 says we walk in love. 1 John 1:7 says we walk in light. John says we walk in truth. The Greek word for walk is parapedo, and it means to walk around. In other words, Paul says our relationship with Christ is all about our lifestyle.
Yes.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
You've got to live this thing. You've got to live it 24/7. It ought to be a part of your life. When you open your eyes in the morning, the first thing that come out of your mouth ought to be, thank you, God. Before your feet hit the floor, you ought to tell him, thank you for allowing me to see another day. It ought to be a part of your lifestyle. Thanksgiving ought to be a part of your daily vocabulary. When people do something for you, you tell them thank you, right? But God wakes you up in the morning and we say nothing. Then Paul says, if you've received Christ, you've got to be rooted in him.
Yeah.
And see, this is where Paul kind of switches gears with this thing. And now that we're on the move with Christ, Paul says we've got to be grounded in it. And what he's saying here in the text is that once you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, you should want to grow in him.
Yeah.
It's a motivational command. Get up on your feet kind of speech he's giving to the church, because the church was in turmoil because they weren't studying anymore. They were mixing things together. They were worshiping angels and not giving God his due glory and his due praise. So then what happens? The church starts to divide. Amen? Because some people like the archangel more than they believe in Jesus. Because, well, Jesus never came back. Yeah, but you never saw the angel either. Come on, somebody. The reason so many Christians fall away from the church soon after their conversion is they don't take time to become part of the body. And churches everywhere see this. People will come and join the church, and then we don't extend love, and they come and they sit, and no one does anything to welcome them in, and we don't make them involved, they don't get involved, and before you know it, they're gone. You got quiet.
That's true.
Because maybe we don't do that here. Maybe we love on folks.
Yeah.
And we say, hey, you know, what would you like to do? How would you like to work? Where can you be of service? Because we're all members of this body, and together we can get it done. But alone, we can only do but so much. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
People are like a bunch of cut flowers. They're beautiful to look at, but unable to sustain any spiritual life because they're cut off from the root.
Uh-huh.
which is the body of Christ. Come on. Paul's not laying out a plan for everyone's spiritual growth, because God's plan for your growth and my growth are not the same. Come on. Because my issues are not your issues, nor are your issues my issues. So what it takes for me to grow is not necessarily what it takes for you to grow. So you can't measure above on me. You've got to make a personal commitment to the Lord, and you've got to have a personal conversation with him and get to know him. So when you groan because you can't get a prayer out, he already knows what you stand in need of. Y'all are quiet today, but that's all right. He alone knows what life lessons we each have to learn to become good disciples of Christ. And as we learn and grow in Christ, our life becomes more and more a reflection and the image of him. So I ask you, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? If you look at yourself honestly, amen, and look at what you really, you got to look at yourself for who you really are. I tell you a story. I put on so much weight. Thank God it's coming off. I put so much weight on, I had a contractor come in and move the mirrors up in my bathroom. So when I got out the shower, I didn't see nothing from here down. Tell the truth. It doesn't mean it wasn't there. Okay? But when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Are you slow to complain and quick to to commend someone? If so, you're rooted in Christ. Come on, are you slow to chastise and quick to encourage? If you are, then you are rooted in Christ. Are you slow to argue and quick to agree? Then you are rooted in Christ. Are you slow to retaliate but yet quick to forgive? If you are, you are rooted in Christ. And finally, Paul says, if you have received Christ, you've got to be built on him.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. The third of Paul's choice metaphors for me is the best. In biblical times, the word built up and established indicated a continual process. So you picture yourself, and here's the thing. This is where we miss it. We've got to picture ourselves as a building that is never completed.
Yeah.
But see, we want to think that we have arrived because now we have a little bit of money, and now we've got a little piece of a house and some health and somebody dragging along behind us calling us bae and boo, and we think that we have made it and our building is finished. And that is the worst thing that you can do, because if you don't maintain a house, it will quickly fall apart. And if you want to see a house go downhill, don't live in it. Go one winter without living in the house and come back in the spring and see what happens to it. Go a little while without Christ in you and see what happens to your building. Come on, somebody. Y'all to talk to me just a little bit. You know, it's a continual process in a building that is never finished. We are under construction. I am in construction. I tell folks all the time, just pray for your pastor. Because sometimes you don't know what goes on in my mind. And sometimes I want to meet folks right where they are and speak their language. But I am rooted and grounded in him. And I understand that even though it may look dark, even though it may not make sense, even though somebody may lie on you, they may cheat on you, they may talk about you, they may slander your name, I'm a building in progress, and I'm not going to tear down my building to meet you where you are. I'm going to allow the Lord to continue to build me. I'm going to allow the Lord to do a work in me so that I can look at you in spite of you and say, God bless you, God keep you, and heaven smile upon you. And there's more satisfaction out of that in the long term than it is the short term of meeting people where they are. It doesn't matter if your building is a mansion or a mess. One thing is certain, just keep on building. Build in Christ, and you are building on a firm foundation.
Yeah.
Come on, no greater foundation can be laid than that which is in Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. See, if I had some saved folks, I'd be able to tell you in the hymn book, it says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. Y'all shout on that, and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest thing and holy thing on Jesus' name. On Christ, the Son of God, and all other ground is sinking sand. You've got to be built on something that is not somebody, your example of faith represents what you believe. Don't you understand that? If you're wishy-washy and sometimes that shows where your level of faith is. If people don't know how to deal with you because they don't know what's going to come out of your mouth, they don't know what kind of reception they're going to get from you, you're not really rooted in anything. You might look good, but you're not good for anything. A weeping willow is one of the most beautiful trees on the planet, but it has the most shallow roots that you've ever seen of all the trees. And if a wind comes around or a heavy flood, it will knock that thing right down. It isn't no good. You can't put it next to your house. You can't do anything with it. All you can do is look at it and wait for it to fall down. And 20, and if you begin with Christ, every other faith brick you lay will be, I'm going to talk to the builders, every brick that you lay down will be plumb, it will be square, it will be in line, if you start out right. Come on now, if you start out right, you'll end up right. Come on, somebody. If you start out with Christ, you'll end up with good character.
Yes, you will.
Come on, somebody. No matter when you start, but as long as you start with him, you'll end up with good character. So don't worry about what your past says about you. If you are in Christ Jesus, you will end up with good character. If you start out with Christ, you'll end up with a humble spirit. Come on. If you start out with Christ, you'll end up with pure motives. Even our faith. 1 John 5:4. And I'm finished. Paul rallies up in this scripture and in this cry with the revelation that those who have received Christ will abound with thanksgiving. So I ask you today, are you grateful?
Yes.
If I give you something, you say thank you. You might not ever get another thing from me. If I give you something from my heart and you say thank you, I'll make sure that I'm receptive to that thing. When God gives you grace, you're going to tell him thank you. See, because he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to come down from on high and give his life for you. He didn't have to do it. So you ought to tell him thank you. Are you grateful that you can turn foolishness into wisdom? Come on, somebody, and praise him. He can turn darkness into light, boldness into victory, pain into pleasure, ruin into redemption, hurt into healing, trials into triumph, discord into harmony, wastes into strength, burdens into blessing, guilt into glory, sorrow into joy, and for that God. Whatever comes your way, you can tell him, God, I thank you. My mama is dead, but God, I thank you. My bishop is gone, but God, I thank you. Our leaders are leaving here, but God, we thank you. We've got a nut in the White House, but God, I thank you. You know that you are in control, and in all things we're going to give thanks, because if you give him thanks, he'll order your steps. You cannot go wrong, but you've got to be rooted in him. Hey, you've got to be grounded in him. You've got to be built on him. You've got to walk in him. And rooted down in walk in faith, and he will direct your path. Do you know him today? you grounded in it?
Yes.
Are you building with it?
Yes.
Come on, somebody. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood.
Yes.
On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. As we rise to our feet, every head bowed and every eye closed, the doors of the church are open.